Wing is a paid program on 630 WLAP. This is the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk.
This is the new frontier. This is the new frontier.
Let the word go forth from this day on. A new generation has been born to the task to keep us free, but proud of the rights of the home country. This is the new frontier.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. We are so lucky to have Mario Balaban from Project Veritas joining us again. Founded in 2010 by James O'Keefe, they investigate public and private corruption, shining light in dark places, and he's got an update for us this week. So, Tom, take it away.
Okay, we're having Mario back on kind of quickly because some things have happened. This is an organization, I love what they're doing. They're one of the few out there that are really doing something instead of just asking you for money. And like the Republican Party, for instance. So these guys are really doing some things. And Mario, you had some developments happen this week, and they're pretty interesting. So talk a little bit about them, if you would.
Hey, yeah. So thank you again for having me back on your program. Well, yesterday morning, I woke up to some interesting news. James let us know, our team know, that his account had been locked for 12 hours on Twitter for posting one of our videos that I'll explain in a second. And I found out soon after that the Project Veritas account had also been locked for 12 hours for the same reason, for the same video. So this video was came from our Facebook investigation. We released about 2 weeks ago now. Insider tapes from inside Facebook, where an insider provided us tapes of executives there discussing, you know, the political agenda and several other things. One of those executives was Vice President of Integrity, Guy Rosen. And he, you know, talked about how they developed programs in the last 3 to 4 years to freeze commenting on threads where there may be hate speech. You know, they define what that is, and they can freeze commenting. So he's talking about that. Our journalists this week were able to find Guy Rosen on the street by his house. We asked him some questions regarding what his comments were in the original video. He didn't respond to that. It was a very harmless video. We published the video questioning Rosen and him running away for about a 90-second video there. And Twitter said that we were violating their privacy agreement, and that we were exposing private information. Therefore, it was justified to lock our tweets. And from there, we decided to appeal that decision through the Project Veritas account, not through James's account. And within 30 minutes of appealing it yesterday, they decided that we were going to get a permanent suspension. So they didn't like that we appealed. They don't like dissent. They don't like people actually, you know, challenging their decision making and actually looking into
this is Twitter that was doing this, not Facebook, right?
Right. Twitter was basically coming in to protect Facebook because the video the person we were exposing was a Facebook executive, a harmless video. In the video itself, you can't see a street number, you can't see a street name, you can't see a neighborhood, city, any information. The only thing you could see for a mild moment, for a very short moment, actually, is the number of the house, which, if you look at it, you will never know where that is. It's impossible to say that it's exposing private information. You would never be able to pinpoint where that house is from that video. So truly, very ridiculous reasoning from Twitter. They doubled down permanently suspended us for that. And James's account got reinstated because, you know, we didn't challenge. We just deleted the tweet they wanted us to delete. So, yeah, now we're just using James O'Keefe's Twitter account. And now we also know that YouTube took down the same video that Twitter wanted us to take down. So Big Tech is working hand in hand to censor.
It's unbelievable. Let me ask you something. I just want to talk to you for a minute. We all know Facebook, you know, and I use Facebook for stuff, but, and we get business from it, but, I would say that the platform is genius, but the ownership and management of it is corrupt. So you got to differentiate, in what you deem to be corrupt and not corrupt. But what do you think about these other platforms, such as, all right, Gab is one of them. What Elizabeth, you know them all. What are the others?
Now that you put me on the hot seat, I can't think of a single one.
MeWe.
Right.
Gab.
Yep.
Signal. That's more of like a texting thing, isn't it?
Yes. Parler so, was.
Yeah.
Right. We did have a Parler account. Obviously, that's down. We are very active on Telegram. That's a very good alternative way to distribute our videos. So Telegram is something we've been growing.
That's like YouTube, right? Telegram is like YouTube's sort of alter ego.
A little bit. It's more so like a messaging platform, but it's very good because you can follow channels on there.
Okay.
So if you follow certain channels, you'll be getting notifications as if we were getting, you know, direct messages to your phone. So you'll get that. It's very good. Our email program is very reliable at this moment. We've been using, we recommend following us through the email program. But we're starting out our Gab and some other accounts we're exploring. It takes a little bit of time to get those up and running to where we want it to be. So we're definitely working on those. But other than that, we're still, surprisingly, I'll have to say, Facebook and Instagram did not censor us yesterday. They're the only big tech platform that didn't censor us yesterday. As a result, I believe, and I, you know, this is my personal opinion, is that maybe they thought the optics would look bad if they were banning us for a Facebook video, you know, so.
They also might not know what else you've got.
Exactly. That's also true. And trust me, we have more. So, so that's the thing. It was very interesting to see Twitter and YouTube act this way, but Facebook and Instagram did not.
That's interesting. Let's just rename the company that we're talking to. It's Project. It's not Veritas. It's Project Veritas. I think you said Veritas. Well, whatever.
It's spelled right on the blog.
Yeah, it's Project Veritas. You could just Google or put in that name and get to their website. These people are worthy of a donation. I mean, you know, and I just, listen, we all have to have money to survive, at least in a temporal sense. And these people are worthy of your consideration. Let me ask you this, Mario. Is James, is he just kind of considered radioactive by certain areas of media, or, you know, they know that he's honest and he's got integrity and that he does good work, but they're just scared to death of him?
I would assume so. I mean, it was also kind of not shocking or surprising, but also just a little sad to see all these blue check mark verified individuals on Twitter finding it wonderful that, you know, not only us yesterday, but others who have been deplatformed and censored, they find that to be amusing or a good thing. So it really shows you the situation that we're in when, you know, people who are supposed to have, you know, public influence and supposed to represent, you know, groups of people in this country find it a good thing that other voices aren't heard.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I just, it's like the collective mind has just become complete. You know, I don't get it. I mean, very few people have inquiring minds anymore. There was an article, there was a book written 25, 30 years ago by a guy named Alan Bloom called The Closing of the American Mind. And it was about this, and this was 25 years ago. But today it's just like it's accelerated to the point where, you know, if you do any kind of thing where you're trying to reach for the truth, you get these supposed, quote, intellectuals, you know, happy that you are going down. That's crazy.
Right.
Well, and what's even crazier, there's a C.S. Lewis wrote a book years ago called The Screwtape Letters, and it talks about you know, all the different things that are going on right now. Anyway, I'm not going to go into it, but if anybody wants to look into that, that's another. There are all sorts of kind of prophetic things that were written years ago that are sort of
seems like they're happening now. So anyway, what are you guys, what else are you all working on? That's, I mean, how bad does this hurt you to be off of Twitter? I mean, you guys have bound to know that at some point it would happen. I mean, come on.
No. So, I mean, we do have James's account still on, and our Project Veritas Action account is on. So there's still decently big accounts there. Obviously we know their censorship is not over. And probably just beginning. Obviously it would be helped much better if we had all accounts, but again, we've established ourselves pretty well across different platforms and made, you know, sufficient impact and you know, become valuable enough to a lot of reporters that our content's still going to be out there, and they can't stop that. You know, they can try to decrease the amount of views it gets or something like that, but in general they can't really stop, you know, a big audience from seeing our videos.
And once somebody or a group is banned on Twitter, is that, if it's a permanent ban, there's no going back, right? There's no reconsideration or where you can file some kind of take another look sort of thing?
Yeah, it looks like that. I mean, I believe there's an option to, you know, challenge the permanent suspension, but you know, given what we've seen here with people who've been permanently suspended and how Twitter is, you know, just doubling down every time you challenge anything they do, I definitely find it unlikely.
So when are you going to start investigating them?
Oh, we have. We already have in 2018. We launched videos of them, of Jack Dorsey and others, just a month ago. And we're always looking for more insiders and more information inside Twitter. And we're happy to do more there.
It seems always. Like, yeah, there was some kind of video that I saw of that Jack Dorsey character.
He's slimy looking. I mean.
But they busted him pretty bad on some of this election stuff, it seems like. I don't know if you all were involved with that or not.
We the video we exposed was about a month ago where an insider from Twitter recorded Dorsey and a few other executives inside Twitter in an internal meeting talking about how they had just begun their censorship efforts and how this stuff would go on a global scale. That's the kind of information we released. So it was more.
Well, and that was what that was exactly what I saw. So that was you all, that video. Yeah.
Yeah. That was us. Yeah. That was us.
That didn't shine the most favorable light on our Jack Dorsey, did it?
I'm sure that might have played a reason as to why he took action yesterday.
Yeah, he might have just been waiting and watching until you all
I wouldn't be surprised.
So let me ask you this, and you may not be able to say much. Well, what are you all working on now? I bet you get asked that all the time.
Yeah, we do have, trust me, we have more videos coming out very soon. Expect a new video early next week. Can't tell you what it is, but definitely someone a very, very public figure, and it's very interesting information, and I think you'll like. So keep an eye out for that early next week.
So What I would like to say to our listeners is that there was a very famous movie made called, what was that movie called? The King or All the President's Men. It may have been the book, but it was about these two guys at the Washington Post called Woodward and Bernstein. And
yep.
They were investigative reporters and went to big lengths to basically bring down the Nixon administration, whom they considered vile.
Watergate.
Yeah, it was Watergate, whom they considered vile and despicable.
Mm-hmm.
Media no longer has those kinds of people. They are compliant tools of the state now. And so if you're going to do investigative reporting, which used to be a mainstream kind of thing, it's guys like Project Veritas. Now, to me, that's regrettable, but it's interesting because even back then, when this was done back in the 70s, the bias of the media was more towards bringing down a Republican administration or one that might be construed as being more conservative than it was a Democrat administration. You never saw this kind of sting operation run against LBJ, who was a crook, or other kinds of people that were Democrats, because, you know, that's even Walter Cronkite, who many viewed as very moderate or something, probably leaned Democrat more. So whenever you go after liberals, you're basically going against the whole machine. And one of the things that I've found, and this really happens, and it was what Obama would do, the crowd that's in power always accuses the crowd that's trying to expose them of doing the things that they're doing. That's how you do it, is you accuse people that are opposing you of doing the very thing you're doing yourself. Why do you accuse them of that or even imagine that they're doing that? Because you know you're doing it yourself. That's why you come up with that sort of accusation. So this is it's never an easy game, and you can't give up because the truth itself is worth sacrificing for. But this is why I want you all to hear and know about Project Veritas, because they're doing it. Believe me, it ain't for the money. They're not shaking people down and like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson did for money in order to extort money out of it. You all do not practice extortion with the information that you've gotten. Not that I know of.
No, definitely not.
It isn't what you do. You're doing it to try to basically get the truth out there. This is a very hard thing. Not many people want to do this.
Right.
So that's why these people are on this show right now.
Yep, and I'll just say, yes, you're absolutely right about that. We only care about the truth. That's what motivates everyone who works here. And I love your analogy there about, you know, just, that is something that I actually have taught. That's something I've talked to James about personally a lot, exactly what he said. He uses it a lot now since I talked to him about that. He loves using that analogy, which is, accuse your enemies of the things you do. And that's actually, historically, it's not only because it makes sense, you know, politically to do that, but there's actually historic backing to say that either Lenin or other very influential tyrants of the past actually, you know, instigated this. This was something that was actually trained of you know, tyrants in the past. This is like training given to tyrants and political activists in these radical circles.
So yeah, it's the reason that they think of it is because they're doing it. That's why they think of it.
Right.
Do you think it's been made so much worse, though, with the social media power that has come in the last say, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, versus just the power that the politicians had sort of underground and behind the scenes. Social media, the power of that group and the unison of that, I think, has made everything like 10 times magnified in what can actually go on that the public doesn't know.
I certainly think that the media, and especially big tech these days, have more power than a lot, or if not a lot, all of government institutions. They have the money to lobby. They have the power to control what those politicians can and can't say. And they're the ones who keep holding politicians to account. So politicians actually fear these companies instead of them fearing politicians.
To the extent that there's one individual that bought a bunch, $300 million worth of voting boxes, wasn't it?
About $400 million.
Yeah. That was Zuckerberg.
Something that Zuckerberg did. But anyway, well.
That was a quick segment there, Mario.
Yeah,
Mario,
thank you. I hope you all have a good weekend. You know, you guys are doing good. We love you.
Thank you so much. And I, really like and enjoy being in this on this program with you guys.
Okay, we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely.
Maybe you guys can come down here and see us sometime. We got a lot of corruption here.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely, forever in the area, we'll certainly let you know.
All right, brother.
And I'll tell you something else. You better stay tuned for the second half of the hour, because we got our financial guys coming on in here to give you updates on what's going on. And we'll be watching for that video next week, Mario.
Great. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Okay, brother.
Have a great week.
Take care. Have a good weekend. Yep.
Have a good one. Thank you.
But out of the rights of the home country, this is the new frontier. This is the new frontier.
All right, we're.
There has to be.
We are in the middle.
A new center.
Moving to the middle.
Where people
in the middle
can work together.
I am right in the middle of it. And I cannot tell you how happy I am to speak with you.
This is News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.
Feeling the itch to change things up? Start at home. Now is the perfect time to freshen up your space with custom window treatments at a great low price from Blinds.com. They're offering major savings during their President's Day sale with up to 40% off everything site-wide, including blinds, shades, interior shutters, even outdoor shades. So whether you're looking for blackout shades or that perfect light filtered glow, choose from a beautiful array of options customized just for your home. It's a breeze to order online with free shipping and a guaranteed perfect fit. So whether you DIY or you have them handle all of it from start to finish, Blinds.com is there. Why wait to turn your dream home into a reality? Give yourself a brand new view to enjoy all year long, and don't wait to save. It's Blinds.com. Go there now. Save up to 40% on all blind shades, interior shutters, and more from now until February 16th. Blinds.com. Save up to 40%. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're off and running, Kentucky. Thousands of Kentuckians have already received the COVID-19 vaccine, and more doses continue to arrive. We're on our way to getting folks back to work and getting our kids back at school. It's a shot of relief, a shot of hope. All you have to do is keep doing your part. We can't all get the vaccine at once, but we'll all get a turn. Get the facts at kycovid19.ky.gov.
We got a little bit of a light wintry mix possible on our Saturday. Outside of that, it's cloudy. It's still cold. Temperatures upper 20s and low 30s. A winter storm watch is out for the entire region. Sunday night into Monday and early Tuesday, we've got significant amounts of snow, sleet, and freezing rain on the way. Keep a close eye on that setup. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeartRadio station.
For half a century, the world has sought answers to the question, what happened to Jim Duncan? Longshot Return Man is an eight-part investigative podcast into the remarkable life and mysterious death of Super Bowl champion and leading kickoff returner in 1970, Jim Duncan.
The story was that my brother took a gun off a police officer and shot himself. Most people don't believe that.
Listen to the Longshot Return Man podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heard the good news about COVID-19 vaccines? They're here. But you can do more than wait for your turn. Here's how. Stay at least 6 feet away from folks you don't live with. And it's risky to be indoors with them, too. And masks? Well, they protect both the person wearing them and the folks around them. Wear a mask, watch your distance, and make a big difference now.
Learn more about vaccines at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
So much is happening, but who can you trust? You need to check out Newsmax TV, the fastest-growing news channel in America. Watch it on all major cable systems and see shows with Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, Stinchfield, and Rob Schmidt. They're giving you the real story on Biden and Pelosi. So download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone now or watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Pluto, Zumo, and more. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV. So should you.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. And DupreeFinancial.com.
630 WLAP.
Woo, Lord, welcome to the second half of the Tom Dupree Show. We've got our financial guys joining us for this segment, Adarsh Meshru, Philip Sexton, and Mike Johnson, as well as our host, Tom Dupree.
This is the Kingston Trio. And when I went to camp in the 70s, they were guys that sang at camp assemblies, barred a lot of Kingston Trio songs like Charlie and the MTA. And they were a trio, obviously, from San Francisco area. Two guys on the guitar, one guy had his real long banjo, and they could tear it up. They were full of energy. They played all kinds of, you would call it folk music, but it was everything. And I just thought, this isn't totally representative of them, but it's just a little piece of information. All right. No mama don't trade. Forget soccer moms. They've all become money moms, itching to get rich. Feeding their dreams is some of the most shameless advertising I've ever seen, from online brokers who pretend that piling up stock market profits is as easy as apple pie. For example, take one of the TV ads for blank. Two young suburbanites dash back from jogging. One of them sweeps her daughter off the computer. Mama's got a trade. Click, click. She checks her little biotech stock. Wow, market's up. Click, sell, and grin. I think I just made $1,700. Her friend confesses, I have mutual funds. Poor thing. How middle-aged. So that's like something recent, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like within the last few weeks or?
We recently found it. No, this article is from May of 1999.
Golly, I remember then. Yeah, that's 21 years ago. So everybody was day trading back then, right?
Everybody was day trading. Another one ran, you know.
Everybody was day trading.
It's amazing the similarities, what's going on now. I mean, this
free
is,
money.
This is not a new phenomenon.
Easy money, man.
Right, right. Everybody's in. Everybody's making money. But it's this was a quote in the article. In real life, the more people play the market like a video game, the more dreams will die and prices turn. I remember how bad it was after the crash of 1987. Some people lost everything. There were more divorces, and retirees had to go back to work. You know, there were a lot of people back in the 90s that were doing just that. They were quitting their day job to become day traders, you know. And today you're seeing same principles being applied today, where people are, maybe they're already unemployed, they got laid off, you know, due to COVID or whatever, but people are not going back to work, or some people are quitting their jobs and trading. You know, you look at the Robinhood, the, you know, AMC, GameStop, SPACs, all these different vehicles that are out there, the hot market, the, you know, pot stocks, you know, the last few days. I mean, it's this kind of craze mania, euphoric situation, and people are just piling in on it.
Does that mean that the market's toppy in here?
So certain areas for sure, and when I say certain areas, primarily tech. Within tech, you know, when you look at electric vehicles and, you know, things related to that, these new IPOs that have come to market through what's known as SPACs, Special Purpose Acquisition Corporations, perhaps some biotech stocks. But then when you think about it, that's how it was in the 90s too. It wasn't the entire market, which was, you know, your Johnson & Johnson and, you know, your Kraft Heinz back then weren't going up as much as, you know, your Cisco or Microsoft or Intel. So, you know, when you think about what prices have done, especially since March, you know, some of these, like Tesla has gone up 8 times since March. You know, when you look at that, it does seem like it's toppy, because this cannot continue. It's not like Tesla was a new IPO that came to market and all of a sudden people realized how great it was. They've been a public company for many years. So what happened over the last 7-8 months that made them, you know, go up like they have? So, I mean, it is definitely a cause for concern. The difficulty, if you, you know, look at this article, it's from May of 99. The bubble finally burst in March of 2000. So we don't know when it ends. You know, these things can go on for longer than people anticipate, especially in this environment where interest rates are basically zero. So we don't know when it'll end, but this sort of behavior, when people think that making money in the market is easy just by buying the, you know, latest SPAC, that's definitely a cause for concern.
I saw where Paul Ryan, the guy that was the head of the
finance,
No, it was head of the House. House of Representatives.
He was, but he was on like the head of the Finance Committee too, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was the majority leader. Yeah. When he was on whatever committee he wanted to be on.
Yeah, but finance was a big thing.
Yeah, but he was a congressman, not a businessman.
Yeah,
did you see what he's doing?
No.
He's issuing a $300 million SPAC.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's got plenty of experience.
Didn't see that.
Yeah.
Well, heck,
Paul Ryan.
He knows but he
was smart enough to stand up to Trump. You know, he knew how to do that.
He's in charge of the rule book too, being in Congress.
He was.
He knows when the rules are coming into place. How's that?
Well, all I can tell you is that he has decided that he's got enough wisdom to do a $300 million deal. No experience in the securities business, nothing like that.
I won up you. There was some
rappers coming out with a sprite.
Better. You ready? I heard this yesterday from Tim Terry and Brad Crane were having this conversation.
It must have been true then.
Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, well, that's kind of like a rapper.
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah. He's doing his back. Why not? If everybody else can do them.
Heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah.
I read it too. It's going to be a $250 million spec.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's blow-off kind of behavior right there.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it. So, rationally, when you look at what's happening compared to what happened in the 90s, seems very similar. Again, we just don't know when it'll blow off. So, definitely would not recommend shorting the market into this. But it does.
Well, the other thing that's it's the timing part. You don't know when it's going to stop, but you don't know how it's going to stop. Is it going to actually have a correction, a big drop in price, or are you just going to have a long period of nothing?
Right.
Exactly. I mean, you don't know how it's going to play out.
I don't think you're going to have a long period of nothing. I mean, there's going to be okay, let me tell you this. A guy I really respected, he's passed away, was in the bond business in New York and helped people buy and sell municipals, Frank Coleman. He said that, I asked him, I said, what's the market doing today? And he said, it's kind of drifting. And I said, you mean drifting up? He said, markets don't drift up. It's not going to just go sideways with this kind of behavior.
Right.
This kind of behavior begets more of this kind of behavior until it finally gets where it can,
that's right.
It's like a crack addict seeking for that high, but really what he's trying to do is kill himself. I mean, and I think that's what this kind of thing is.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that, the phrase which is used, fear of missing out,
FOMO.
FOMO, yes. Anecdotally, when I speak to youngsters, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, they're completely into this market. But older folks, people in their 60s, 70s, who've been through the dot-com crash and other market cycles, are still, skeptical. So does it end when even people who are skeptical now get into it?
Well, right. And I think that's what I wanted to add, too. So in this article, and it still, I will say, holds true for future performance, too, is Terry O'Dean, a finance professor at the University of Cal, tracked the 7-year performance of 10,000 trading accounts at a large discount brokerage firm. On average, he found that the stocks people sold did better than the stocks they replaced them with. In a second study, he found that the more people traded, the poorer the results. I think that, to that point, Adarsh, is, if I'm sitting there talking to somebody, stay the course, stay what got you to where you're at now, and I think that's a very important thing to be preaching right now, because, the moment that you say, oh, GameStop, I've got to sell my account and get me some GameStop, that's the moment that you'll tip the boat over on you real quick.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that anybody ever imagined that thing was any more than a trading vehicle and thought of it as a company that has value, that would be kind of crazy.
Well, it says, you know, the simple trading mistakes that people make just because they don't know. You know, the number six on here, and I can't believe this was 21 years ago, but it says, number six, you believe in a stock hyped on an online message board. Didn't your mother warn you not to take candy from strangers? Yeah. 21 years ago, and we're still having this discussion.
During that time, I used to get Bloomberg's TV station. And I remember one morning, I don't know, it was about 6:30 in the morning, and they had some stock on there that was like $6. Some tech stock. By the time I got to, I thought it looked kind of reasonable, you know. Time I got to the office and the market had opened and I was able to look at it, it was like at 15. I mean, you know, it just was the way that the things were back then.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that right now.
It's interesting, you know, how every time it's different this time. What a lot of people are saying is, well, valuations are dead. You know, they don't mean anything. Momentum is what matters now. Same thing, you know, in the tech bubble, you know, valuations don't matter. It's what this company will be worth, you know, over time. It just, the similarities are the same, but, you know, like with GameStop, you know, momentum, it can beat valuation in the short term, but eventually everything trades at what it's worth eventually.
What's it called, the greater fool theory?
Yeah.
You've always got to have that neck for momentum to continue. You've always got to have that greater fool than you.
That's right.
Okay, this is the CAPE ratio. Just crossed above 39. Somebody want to discuss that a little bit?
Yeah, so the CAPE ratio, CAPE stands for cyclically adjusted price to earnings ratio. It's basically a valuation ratio, so it looks at the average of the last 10 years earnings of the S&P 500, and it looks at the present value of the stock market and divides it by that to basically get a value, just like a PE, a price to earnings ratio. So the current CAPE ratio is 39. Last time it was at 39 was also in the late 90s when it went even higher than 39. It went to 48, so it's been even higher. And previously it went this high back in the late 20s, right before the Great Depression started. So when you look at valuations, they're expensive. Now, the point of this article is, you know, what does this mean? Does it mean that, you know, the market's about to roll over? He says we don't know that because in the late 90s, even though the CAPE was high, it went even higher. In the late 20s, it was right around here and eventually rolled over. This time, you know, it may not be like the 90s. It may not be like the 20s. You know, it could even go higher. It could roll over or it could just, you know, go sideways. But what we do know, looking at, you know, data going back decades, is that when the CAPE is this high, it doesn't matter if the market goes even higher or rolls over right away. Future stock market returns will be lower than what they've been. So if you look at the next 10 years, even if the market's about to go higher over the next year, over the next 10 years, if you're a long-term investor, then future returns will be lower just because valuations today are high. So, you know, the last decade we had 11 or 12% returns in the S&P 500. That was following a big drop in 08-09 when valuations became very cheap. Today we are at a point where valuations are expensive. So if you look at where they, what returns will be going to 2030, then there's a high probability that, you know, they will not be as high as the previous decade.
And also that volatility would increase too, that same period. So it'll be more range bound and you'll have, you know, pockets of this or that, but you'll have on average, lower returns historically, and more volatility.
And one example is, you know, the late 90s again, the dot-com bubble. It peaked in March 2000, and, you know, over the next 2 years, the market dropped. And then again, the market went up into 07, 08, but dropped again. So if the year 2000 was the start and 2010 was the end, it was a decade of no returns, because the previous decade, the 90s, was a decade of very high returns. It took 25 years for the stock market to go back to where it was in 1929. So 25 years, no returns. So these, you know, episodes where markets become extremely expensive, you know, are normally precursors to poor stock market returns going forward. Mm-hmm.
I can agree with that too, Darsh, but one thing I would want to point out to kind of argue against the CAPE ratio right now is that, you know, before this, I mean, you had from 2009 all the way to 2020 of continued growth, you know, so you never had kind of a recession or a depression adjusted into that cyclically adjusted PE. And then to flip it, you know, it's pricing it at a 39 now, with the last year of this past year of earnings that have been depressed, not due to the consumer behavior shifting or anything like that, but due to lockdowns.
Right.
You know, so one could assume that, you know, as things continue to open up and become less restrictive as the year goes on, hopefully, that KPE will actually come down.
It will, yes. Now, before the lockdowns, the CAPE was already high. It wasn't 39, but it was over 30. So, yes, you know, if you adjust for that, then, you know, it may not be 39. It may be, I don't know, 35.
Yeah.
So, yes, still not as high as it was back in the year 2000 or 1928, but higher than historical average, which is right around 20, I think, or 22.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I totally agree with, you know, more that your basis for what your return should be, you know, should be adjusted moving forward. I agree with that. I guess one thing is, and what it says in here, you know, you really can't time markets based on looking at what the KPE is,
right,
you know,
right.
And I that's a good explanation, is that, you know, you look at what the PE is now and what's a depressed PE.
Interest rates are way lower, and that's got to have something to do with it. I mean, if they stay this low forever, you could see a CAPE go to 50.
You could, yes. But then ultimately you have to wonder why interest rates are so low. Is there a structural problem in the economy? Interest rates are low because the returns that are available on capital are also low.
Exactly.
So when you're...
I mean, it's all kind of a conundrum.
Right, right.
It's like the chicken and the egg, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a wrap. That's the hook that I'm drawing everybody in with. If you like what you've heard, you can always hear more of the Tom Dupree Show on our podcast, available wherever you listen to.
Got a hook for sure.
Oh, my Lord. Wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, we're now on Spotify and Amazon Music as well. We appreciate you listening. Coming to you from the Dupree Studios on Main Street. Over and out. See you next week.
Her old lady socked me with a rolling pin, and I bawled.
I bawled.
I bawled.
I bawled.
A man should have heard me ball while I follow in the Philippines, and I'll meet with that old woman again.
Oh yes, I ball,
I ball,
I ball,
I ball.
A man should have heard me ball while I...
This is what's happening.
If you think this is not impeachable,
you're the defense argument.
Come back throughout the day.
No chance to convict.
Pursue other ways.
Vaccinate all Americans by the end of July.
This.
Get the schools open.
Freezing cold.
Is News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere, that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.